The jury was an array of random-looking citizenry, though some of them were sporting the highly colored masks and smart shroud clothes that had become fashionable in the last few months. If Bobby didn't look too carefully, he could lose sight of a juror until she moved, and then a face or lock of hair or fluttering hand would appear as if from nowhere, and the rest of the juror's body would become dimly visible, outlined by a patchy, imperfect distortion of the background. It was a sweet irony, he thought, that smart shrouds were another bright idea of Hiram's. One new our-world product sold at high profit to counteract the intrusive effects of another. And there, sitting alone in the dock, was Kate. She was dressed in simple black, her hair tied back, her mouth set, eyes empty. Cameras had been banned from the courtroom itself, and there had been little of the usual media scrum at the courthouse entrance. But everybody knew that restraining orders meant nothing now. Bobby imagined the air around him speckled with hovering worm cam viewpoints, no doubt great swarms of them clustered on Kate's face and his own. Bobby knew that Kate had conditioned herself never to forget the scrutiny of the worm cam, not for a second. She couldn't stop the invisible voyeurs gazing at her, she said, but she could deny them the satisfaction of seeing how she hurt. To Bobby, her frail, lone figure represented more strength than the mighty legal process to which she was subject, and the great, rich corporation which had prosecuted her. But even Kate could not conceal her despair when her sentence was at last handed down.
"Jump her, Bobby," Hiram said.
He was pacing around his big conference desk. Storm rain lashed against the picture window, filling the room with noise.
"She's done you nothing but harm. And now she's a convicted felon. What more proof do you want? Come on, Bobby. Cut yourself loose. You don't need her."
"She believes you framed her."
"Well, I don't care about that. What do you believe? That's what counts for me. Do you really think I'm so devious that I'd frame the lover of my son, no matter what I thought about her?"
"I don't know, Dad," Bobby said evenly. He felt calm, controlled. Hiram's bluster, obviously manipulative, was unable to reach him. "I don't know what I believe anymore."
"Why discuss it? Why don't you use the worm cam to go check up on me?"
"I don't intend to spy on you." Hiram stared at his son.
"If you're trying to find my conscience, you're going to have to dig deeper than that. Anyhow, it's only reprogramming. Hell, they should lock her up and wipe the key. Reprogramming is nothing."
Bobby shook his head. "Not to Kate. She's fought against the methodology for years. She has a real dread of it, Dad."
"Oh, bull. You were reprogrammed, and it didn't hurt you."
"I don't know if it did or not." Bobby stood now and faced his father. He felt his own anger rising. "I felt different when the implant was turned off. I was angry, terrified, confused. I didn't even know how I was supposed to feel."
"You sound like her," Hiram shouted. "She's reprogrammed you with her words and her pussy more than I ever could with a bit of silicon. Don't you see that? Ah, Christ. The one good thing the bloody implant did do to you was to make you too dumb to see what's happening to you."
He fell silent and averted his eyes. Bobby said coldly, "You'd better tell me what you meant by that." Hiram turned, anger, impatience, even something like guilt appearing to struggle for dominance within him.
"Think about it. Your brother is a brilliant physicist. I don't use the word lightly. He may be nominated for a Nobel Prize, and as for me," he raised his hands, "I built up all this from scratch. No dummy could have achieved that, but you."
"Are you saying that's because of the implant?"
"I knew there was a risk. Creativity is linked to depression. Great achievement is often linked to an obsessive personality, blah, blah. But you don't need bloody brains to become the President of the United States. Isn't that right? Isn't it?"
And he reached for Bobby's cheek as if to pinch it like a child's. Bobby flinched back. "I remember 1,000 times as a child when you said that to me. I never knew what you meant before."
"Come on, Bobby."
"You did it, didn't you? You set Kate up. You know she's innocent, and you're prepared to let them screw around with her brain just as you screwed around with mine." Hiram stood there for a moment, then dropped his arms.
"Bugger it. Go back to her if you want. Bury yourself in her quim. In the end, you always come running back, you little shit. I've got work to do."
And he sat at his desk, tapped the surface to open up his soft screens, and soon the glow of scrolling digits lit up his face as if Bobby had ceased to exist.